Hello, everybody, and welcome to 3-Point Perspective, the podcast about illustration, how to do it, how to make a living at it, and how to make an impact in the world with your art. I'm Jake Parker.
I'm Lee White.
And I'm Will Terry. And all three of us are professional illustrators, and we have been for the last 25 years. And we've all worked for all the major publishers, and between us, I think we have about 50 books.
Yep. And each week, we are going to tackle a subject relating to illustration from our three perspectives. Sometimes we'll agree and sometimes we'll argue, but every time, you're going to learn something new.
All right. So today is Will's topic. Will, we've kind of been bouncing stories back and forth between each other over the last couple of weeks. And Will was like, you know, this would be a good topic for the podcast. And what it is illustration horror stories. Although, are they all horror stories, or are they illustration stories? Awkward stories? I don't know.
Embarrassment and shame.
When things don't go as planned. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, Will, why don't you just kick us off here and let's just tell some stories.
Okay.
If you listen right now, just sit back, pour a cup of whatever it is you like to drink, and listen to Story Time with Will Terry, Lee White, and Jake Parker.
Okay. So the one I was telling you the other day, Jake, I can't remember if I told Lee this or not, but I told this one a few times. I was really early on in my career as an illustrator, and it was one of probably the second or third year, and I got this job from Arizona Highways Magazine. And I didn't know the art department in there very well. I didn't know anybody there. And I was nervous as an illustrator. I wanted to do everything right. And they asked me to illustrate this story about the zoo in Arizona. And they had the article talked about how they would bring in patrons of the zoo to come in and help out with odd jobs, helping out with the animals and different things like that, little service projects. And the article went on to talk about various ones, and I'm trying to get some visual imagery. And then I'm reading a little further, and it says that some of the patrons were asked to clean the tortoises, right? Like wash them down. So now this is a podcast, so you're going to have to use your visual imagination for this because I can't show you the illustration. But what the sketch that I came up with was a girl. And she's really happy, and she's got a washcloth in one hand, and she's holding the neck of the tortoise with the other hand, and she's washing on top of it. And the sketch that I sent in, you know, I sent it to the art director, and I get this call, and the call, and now the way that she's holding the tortoise matters, but the call goes something like this, and the art director calls up, and she says, "Hey, Will, we got your sketch. Yeah, and so just, you know, it's okay and all, but there's something. I'm wondering, like, we might need to have you change a little bit." And she's talking kind of cryptically. And I'm going, okay, you know. And she's like, "Well, you know, it maybe it's the position of the way that she's holding this tortoise head, this long neck, you know." And I'm going, "Yeah." And she goes, "Well, do you see where the neck is coming from?" I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, "Yeah, it's a tortoise neck. I mean, it's like on the tortoise, you know." And she's like, "Well, but you see how like the main body of the tortoise is like behind her?" "Yeah." "Well, see how it's like coming kind of from underneath her a little bit, like coming up from her groin area?" And I go, "Oh my gosh." And then I hear an eruption of laughter in the background. Apparently I was on speakerphone the whole time. And I'm starting, it's all starting to come clear because all of a sudden I see it. It looks right. Pretty phallic. And and now I'm seeing it and I'm realizing, oh, the whole office had a laugh at my expense, and we're all involved in this art director giving me the call and letting me know what was up.
Now, were you really embarrassed, or were you laughing along with him?
I turned beet red. I couldn't believe that I had drawn this thing. Like, we've all drawn stuff before, right? But yeah, and And I, what's funny, as a teacher now, I get these kinds of images all the time, and I've collected some of them from my other students. You know, I have one where this guy's got these rabbits. It's a mother rabbit, and she's got babies, and they're all like feasting. And from the body position, it really looks like they're, yeah, I can't really fully describe it, but they're eating something in the wrong place.
They're compromised. The whole image the compromised whole, by the placement of their head and other body parts.
And other body parts. And, you know, and the sad thing is when you're an artist and you're learning how to draw, it's like a golf swing. To do a golf swing right, there's 50 things you got to put together. And you can't be thinking about all of them at the same time either. They have to flow naturally. And so you can concentrate on like five of them at one time. And as an illustrator, you know, you've got 50 things you've got to be thinking about. And one of them is composition, right?
Right.
And here I am worried about like, does the tortoise look like the tortoise? Does the, you know, does the girl, how does she look? She looks good, you know, her nose in the right place. And you know, and the one thing I didn't step back from was looking at the big picture and seeing that it looks like she is hefting a huge phallus symbol right in your face.
I'll add to that as a teacher. I don't know if you guys have had this happen, but you're same kind of thing where you're drawing on the board really quickly. A lot of times you're just expressing something and you're drawing something from multiple angles. And all of a sudden you'll hear the students snickering in the background and you look up and you realize like you step back, you're like, oh my gosh, what did I just draw? Like totally unintended. Or sometimes it's like what was already previously drawn on the board next to what you drew new. And it just, proximity is everything.
Right.
That's hilarious. No, I just did something like that this week. It wasn't awkward or anything, but I had drawn a robot in my sketchbook and I didn't color it. And then the next day I went in to color it and I grabbed a set of markers. I picked, it was like an earth tone set. So I had green markers and brown markers. And I just started coloring this robot and I thought, you know, I haven't really done an earth tone-y robot. So I'm coloring it. I posted online and all these comments coming in. They're like, oh my gosh, it looks like an avocado. It looks just like an avocado. Is that an avocado bot? And I look at the image of the robot and it looks exactly like an avocado robot, arms and legs. And I didn't even recognize it until I posted it. Anyway.
That's pretty good. All right. So should I go into my next story or?
Yeah, let's hear yours.
This one's one. Not, I mean, these all kind of loosely relate to illustration. This one's just one of those that where I kind of shot myself in the foot. So it's with equal like parts embarrassment and like regret that I go into this story. This one's recent too. I wish it was a long time ago, but it's not. It's pretty recent. So I got contacted by my agent to do that to do a job for Microsoft, and it was going to be they were going to fly me down to LA and film me painting and using, you know, I guess a Surface Pro or whatever the current technology that Microsoft is pushing. Mm-hmm. And it was going to be one of those cool spots. You know, right. it was for a commercial. So they weren't using my illustration. They were using me. And they'd already picked my work. They liked it. It was kind of a done deal. They sent me some samples of some other artists that they had done. And so this whole artist series that Microsoft is doing, and it's currently running now. You could probably Google it. And they're really cool. Like it's like a half a minute to a minute spots, and it just makes you look so cool. Like you just walk in with your laptop,
and
you start drawing, and you know, it's just a really slick kind of spot. Just a precursor to like kind of a just to make sure I'm not a bumbling idiot, they wanted to do a Skype interview with me first before they fly me down. But they'd already picked everything. It was kind of just a formality, and so I set up my Skype, and I'm all ready to go. And I'm kind of working on illustrations at the same time while I'm waiting for this Skype call to come through. And I get, you know, you get a lot of spam on Skype too, just like anywhere. And so I started getting this request coming up and it was spam and I'm killing it. And I'm waiting for this call to come through. And the whole time, like they never told me what their handle was. And so I was actually, they were just trying to call me. And I kept killing the call, and the moniker from, you know, their little whatever little alias name or whatever Skype name was something like Everyday People or something, and I was like, that's spam. Like, why would anyone call themselves Everyday People? That's I was like, that's the worst, like foreign, like, oh, I'm just a normal person. Yeah, yeah, don't
I'm mind just, me. I just want your credit card numbers.
So I'm killing it. And then I contact my agent like 30 minutes later. I'm like, yeah, they never called. And he's like, yeah, they're trying to get through to you. And apparently they had already kind of gotten frustrated and moved on to another artist down the list because they were using a lot of the artists from my agent. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I should contact him again just to say, hey, I'm here and I'm interested. So I contacted that Everyday People person who had, was, you know, trying to get through on Skype, and we're doing the little chat that's through Skype now. And he's like, sorry, sorry it didn't work out or whatever. And I was like, well, and it looked like it wasn't going to go through at all. And I was like, well, you know, maybe you should change your name. Like I said, like the name Everyday People is the worst name you could ever use for a Skype name. And I just went into this whole thing about how the name was misleading and probably not a good name, even maybe some suggestions for another name. And he's like, well, that's the name of our company. And they're a staffing service in Los Angeles that works with Microsoft that gets basically everyday people that in commercials, you know, like you see the person who's driving the car where they're supposed to be a mom or something. And that was their whole business. And meanwhile, so, I could not have made it worse.
You just told them your
business.
Yeah,
it's the worst name ever.
Here's some gasoline to help put out this fire.
It's like taking a horrible situation and making it so much worse.
That's hilarious.
That's a bummer because I wanted to do it. It would have been such a cool spot. Yeah. And I'm just like, dang it. If I would have, I just didn't know.
Yeah. Okay. I've got a story. So this was early on in my career. I was doing a lot of, I was really trying to gain exposure online. And so I was doing these cool, like sci-fi girls, really sexy, like tight suited sci-fi babes, right? And I was posting online and getting a lot of attention for it. And I got an email one day from this kid. He said he was 16 years old, huge fan of my artwork. You know, he loves everything I draw. He said, just one problem. My mom saw like your website and saw all these, you know, women in super tight clothing. And she says she doesn't want me going to your website anymore. So I'm just letting you know, my mom's kind of lame. She's raising me Christian and she doesn't want me doing this, or looking at this kind of stuff. Well, I took that to heart. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm like really, you know, I can have an impact on people personally. So right then I was like, I got to dial back on this stuff. And I started shifting all of the work that I was doing to more family friendly, like all ages type of things, you know, is emphasis on adventure and like cool, awesome stuff. And I really, really dialed back almost to like not drawing scantily clad or tight drawn women or tight suited women or anything like that. And with that, you know, I stopped doing like kind of cool machinery type of things and anything that had any sort of edge to it. I went back on. And for a couple of years, I went in this, you know, this 180 to this other stuff. And I had a friend, a really close friend of mine, and we were talking, and I was showing him my latest thing I was working on. And he's like, Jake, this is cool and all, but you used to do really awesome, like edgy stuff. Your artwork used to have like a bite to it. And he's like, how come you don't do that anymore? And I said, well, you know, I think it goes back to this email I got from this kid. And I realized like, I didn't want to be a bad influence on like kids growing up and stuff and artists and things like that. And I didn't want to like portray women in a objective manner and things like that. And he, all of a sudden, like he's silent on the other side of the line. And I'm like, hey, are you there? What's going on? I just hear him go, oh man. Oh, what? What is it? He's all, I sent that email to you as a joke one day.
Oh my.
I was just messing with you and I didn't know, like, I didn't realize this was going to happen to him. Well, you're kidding me. You did not. You're joking me right now. I'm like, what was his name? And he's like, I don't know. And he went back in his inbox and he found the email and he told me the name of the kid.
No way.
And I was like, you, I didn't know whether to be like grateful for him or like super upset. Cause I was really actually kind of happy with the direction my work was taking now. I felt a little bit more comfortable, but still, like, his little joke altered my entire like focus of the subject matter I was doing for the next several years.
Now, did you go back to doing some of that stuff, or have you worked it back in? How did you end up?
So I don't draw really objectified women anymore, but I do like, I like to turn stuff into robots. I like to do more technical, like, cool stuff. But like, I used to draw, I remember there's a comic I drew, it was kind of like my take on Pulp Fiction. And so I had like headshots and a lot of blood and violence and things like that. I don't do that kind of stuff anymore. But I still, you know, I still like to, I guess the edgiest my work gets in comics is, you know, maybe there's like, I try to make things just look really, really cool, but the subject matter is still very all ages. So I guess that's my
good
compromise.
So it ended up being a kind of a positive thing, but that's fine.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to hit you guys with one. So now the cool thing is all of my stories, they happened early on in my career. So that means either I'm lying now and not telling you, I'm not giving you stories of recent, or I'm not screwing up anymore. But this one came from an advertising piece that I did. I'm at home one day and I get this call. This was back in the day when art directors would actually call you. I get this call from an ad agency and they're doing an ad for new Freedom Maxi pads, right? And I'm like, I can do this, right? It's like a good budget and everything. I'm like, but what are they going to have me draw, you know? Well, so they had this tagline, "As good as it gets till it's gone," was their tagline. And I did this, I was doing this illustration of this girl on a couch, and it was lighthearted and everything. And we get towards the end of the project, and then the art director had seen that I had also did this funky lettering, you know, this kind of handcrafted lettering that they thought would be perfect for it. And she's like, "Well, would you be up for doing some hand lettering for this too?" I'm like, "Sure." You know, she's like, "Well, it'd be a separate budget." And we went through the estimate and everything. And I'm doing the lettering. I'm getting it all ready to go and everything. And the last thing she says was, because I was going to ink it. And she's like, she says, "Whatever you do, don't use red." And I'm like, "Oh." And I go, "Oh, I got sense. It. And I said that just like that. I'm like, "Ah, I got it." And then there's an awkward pause, right?
Oh, no.
And she goes, no, not because of that. She goes, the accent colors we're using are red. And I was like, "Oh, I want this to have not have happened like this."
So
I thought I was like, you know, behind the scenes, like, gotcha, you know.
Gotcha.
Like, we don't have to.
I get what you're saying.
I get what you're saying. We don't have to sell
Sweetheart.
This out. So I guess maybe I'm the only guy in the room here who's had the super embarrassing moments or
this
something.
This is like illustration's most cringiest moments.
Cringy.
Is what it is.
There's a lot of them.
From that story, there's actually a couple things that are blowing me away. Number one, so in that time period, did you just have to answer every phone call?
Like, I was so afraid to not be tethered to the phone that I was one of the first ones to get a 5-point whatever it was G cordless, and uh-huh. Then I was one of the first ones of my friends to get an actual cell phone.
Wow!
I didn't get the block of cheese, but I got the one right after that yeah. The wedge one, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have a nice, healthy pager before that?
I didn't have a pager, but yeah, you were afraid to miss a call.
That's amazing. My illustration career started, I guess it would be post-phone, pre-cell phone adoption, like where everybody had cell phones, but it was like email, you know, everything was done through email.
Right.
And I just can't fathom that. Like, you couldn't even, before cell phones, you just had to, I guess, had to have a good message machine.
Well, yeah, because, and the thing is, with the advertising clients, you know, they want to sign, when they're ready to assign the art, they assign it that day. And if you don't answer your phone, it's definitely going to the next person that answers.
Right.
You know.
Oh, I missed that whole thing. I'm glad I missed it, too. That sounds like a nightmare.
It was nerve-wracking.
And you want to, if you take a vacation, then you come back and you're pressing play on your answering machine.
And you're seeing the sometimes you're seeing the jobs that you've missed. You know. So,
oh no. Yeah.
That's pretty good. All right. Oh, so geez. Avoid the red.
Avoid the red notes for illustration.
And I think what Will did was single-handedly altered the feminine hygiene advertising world, because all they do now is photography.
That's true.
We're not going to work with illustrators anymore, thanks to this idiot.
Pretty much.
So we learned from Will today. Don't draw unintended.
I've got another cringy one
don't
coming.
Don't use red.
I've got another cringy one coming, but I'll share it after Lee goes.
Boy.
All right. This one's a disaster. It's not as cringeworthy in terms of embarrassment, but it is cringeworthy in how I handled. I couldn't have messed up worse in this one. This was early in my career. Big job too. I just gotten out of school. And I'm contacted by Scholastic to do a series of 24 books, picture books. And it's for their educational division. But I didn't care at that point. I didn't know the difference between trade publishing and educational and all that stuff. I just wanted to
That's
work.
That's a sweet gig, though.
And so I'm sweet gig. And so the first step, my first total botch was I was super busy. I was just finishing up Art Center. And starting to get all these promos, and I had a couple of other small jobs in the works, and they wanted me to do a sample for this to get this job. And so I did all the sketches. The sketches got approved, but I was just swamped at the moment, and I couldn't do the paintings. And so I went to Art Center, and I got somebody who actually ended up being a pretty successful illustrator now. And I was going to pay him to paint these things. I'd already done the layout and all that stuff. I was just going to pay him to do the paints, and then I could do little touch ups or whatever, and call it done. And everybody wins. Just for a sample, it wasn't going to be printed, so I didn't. You know, I was just trying to figure out how to keep all these balls in the air. Mm-hmm. You know, and back then I wasn't nearly as fast as I am now, so paintings took longer, and it's just, you know, it was all piling up. I'm sure you guys can identify with that feeling. So I paid him to do it. And they're due. I needed to send them on a Monday because there's no scanning at that point. I'm just sending the actual artwork. And he comes by on like Friday afternoon, evening, and the paintings looked not only not like my work, but they were terrible.
Oh, no.
I mean, they were all terrible. There was like 6-8 of them. I mean, there was a good grouping of paintings, and they weren't in. I mean, the paints looked totally different, even though the layout was the same. I guess I appreciate it now that I could give each of you guys a layout and it wouldn't come back looking like my work. Right. You know, I just didn't appreciate it then. It was shaded. It was all drawn. I was like, just do it, paint it, make it look nice, and I can fix it. But no, it looked like somebody else did it. So I was like, oh no, my first job, and they're going to know that I did this and it looks terrible. One of the pieces was even ripped. And and so I set out on Friday night to Monday. I was going to repaint all these paintings. So I painted them all, started, I was painting in acrylic back then and just jammed through them. And I did not sleep. I was just coffee going the whole time, burned through. I mean, I was used to that from Art Center anyway. So I burned through them, got them done by skin of my teeth and mailed them on Monday. And then they go, I send them in and I got the job. And so it was awesome. And it was about 110K budget, but for that many books and they needed them all in 1 year. Mm-hmm. And this is taking place over like about a week and a half where this job's slowly progressing. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got this dream job. And then all the details start coming in. I'm like, wait a second. If I did, then these are full picture books too.
Yeah.
Like 24 in a year. And so I did the math behind it and I was like, there's just absolutely no, I would have to do a finished painting every single day, not including the sketch or approvals and all that, just like a full finished painting every day with no days off. Like I'm in Saturday, Sunday, every day, holiday. Yeah. And so, you know how hard it is in publishing to get a whole assignment done for the publisher, like to get the illustrator on board and get all, there's a lot of coordination that goes in. So they had meetings after meetings and these sample paintings of me. And at the end of the day, you know, at the end of this like period of all these details, I said, you know, this isn't moving my career forward in a way that I want it to. It'll be a rushed, crazy year, even though the money will be more than I'd ever gotten. And I said, no. And oh my gosh, it was, the reaction was so brutal. And what makes it worse is I had signed on to do one picture book as a side deal. And I was already doing that with the same editor, and they completely stopped all communication with me.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
From that point on, like the only thing I would get, I would send a whole email saying, hey, here's some, cause I still had to do that other book, even though I turned down the whole thing. And so it was these awkward emails. I'd try to be nice, like, hey, I hope your weekend was good. Here's some revised sketches. I tried to add a little more action, and it would just be like, the email I get back was, got it.
Oh man.
it was like 6 months of that. And that was
Scholastic.
Gross. Yeah, I probably shouldn't have said that. Yeah, it was
now,
gross.
Now, can I ask, have you worked with them since?
I have. I've worked with their trade division, though. That was for their educational group. And I still don't regret the decision of turning it down. Right. I just did it in a clumsy way.
The thing that brings to mind, though, is that, I mean, when you start this kind of a career, any kind of freelance career, you really don't have enough experience up front to know whether you're getting into a good project or a bad project. And sometimes, it's really admirable and to think that you could turn that down, because most people just think of the money, you know?
If I didn't run the numbers on the time frame, maybe I would have, because I was pretty jazzed about making a living as an illustrator at that point.
But I think a lot of people would also compromise their style in order to make those deadlines, in order to get that paycheck. And like you were saying, you're thinking, but there are more important things than the paycheck, and that is furthering my career with this the printed stuff doesn't do you any good if it doesn't help further your career.
Right. It's true.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
It's rough though. Mm-hmm. That one stung too, because it was another 6 months to 8 months before I got real work anyway to get into it. So the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, oh man, I blew it.
All right.
Wow. So has, what's the word? Vision is 2020 when you're looking behind you. I totally murdered that one.
Yeah, that was awful.
Your vision is often good when you look backwards and 2020 happens.
What is the actual saying? Like, hindsight is 2020.
Hindsight is 2020, yeah.
I said it like a Vulcan. Anyways, hindsight is 2020. So would you... Had you known what you know now, would you have just been up front and said, you know what, this project isn't for me? Or would it be more of a, like Will was saying, like switch your style to be able to do it, you know?
Yeah, I would have asked the important questions early. That's the big takeaway for me, is like nowadays when somebody says, hey, I've got an alphabet series, it's 24 books. It should have been 26 books, by the way, since the letters of the alphabet are 26, but I didn't ask about that either. But you know, my spidey senses would have been tingling when somebody says that, when they say it's this many books and at the deadline, you know, I just would have been more, I'd had a lot more questions up front before it got that far.
Right.
That's pretty good.
All right. I'm gonna
take away.
I'm gonna hit you with another one.
All right, let's hear it, Will.
So I'm excited to
be like feeling very awkward inside.
I'm gonna. Yes, this one isn't quite as awkward, but this isn't quite as cringy. But this is you could call this a policy change. So you know how you learn lessons along the way. So Lee, you learned to look at the size of the project, and you know, I bet you never did that again. You never got into that situation again.
No.
So for me, the more, I'm gonna give you the moral of first. The moral of the story first, which is now this doesn't even apply anymore because this was back when we were dealing with fax machines. Am I that old? You guys had fax machines, didn't you?
Do you have any telegraph
stories? I'm sorry. Man. Okay. So we had these things called fax machines.
Right. This is right after
you might have seen
Express,
pictures
right?
at one point.
Yeah. The horse showed
Luckily,
up.
Luckily, they didn't last very long. Envelope. They were like a 10-year span, and then they were gone. But yeah, so we used to communicate, and we would get, you know, you get a job, and then you would get a fax with all the details in it. And so I got this job from Home Office Computing, which I remember now. But at the time, the art director went through all the parameters of the job over the phone. It was the weekend. It was Friday, and it was like, you know, can you do this job? Yes. Okay, here's what it is. Here, we need an illustration that depicts this. I used to do a lot of editorial illustration, and Home Office Computing is a magazine. And so, and magazines run on tight deadlines. You know, they're 3 to 4 or 5 months out, and they're always assigning work constantly. And so this art director explains the whole job. We agree on the money. We agree on all the details and everything. And I said, okay, well, hold on. Let me get your name. And she's like, I'm heading out the door. I'll put it all in the fax. And so again, the moral is get the facts, not factus, but facts or email. Now you can say email. Get the information before. So she says, I'll put all the information in the facts. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, because faxes never screw up. So that's cool. So we hang up. I don't remember what company it was, and the fax never comes. So, you know, back in the day, there was a lot of things that could cause it. If the memory was full, because everybody in the office is using the fax machine, right? Mm-hmm. Or yeah. If the paper's out. It could be a number of problems, of reasons why it didn't send. Because there's a queue, and they hit send, and it's supposed to send when it's not receiving one or whatever. Well, on my end, the phone never rang. The fax machine never spit out a piece of paper with all of her information. So this person did not exist in my world, right? Now think about this. She's given me a deadline when sketches are due next Wednesday. This is Friday.
Yeah.
So sketches are due on Wednesday. I don't know the name of the company. I know what the story's about, right? But barely.
But you don't know how to, there's no contact.
There's no
or
contact.
Anything?
There's nothing. Because I'm like, here, let me take down your name. Let me take down your phone number. She's like, I'll put it on the fax. I'm on my way out the door.
Oh,
I'm,
my gosh.
I'm in a hurry. And I'm feeling already, there's something telling me, this is not good, you know. Like I'm getting that feeling, like what if? And my intuition was right, but she's like, no. So then I'm thinking, well, she'll call me, you know, because they're due on Wednesday. She'll call me probably Tuesday or Wednesday and say, you know, how are you coming? Maybe there'll be an email or something. Nothing. Wednesday goes by, nothing. Thursday goes by, nothing. So she had probably built in, like she probably actually really needed them on Friday. But she had said Wednesday just so that I wouldn't be late and screw her over, you know?
Right.
So Friday comes along and I get this phone call. Will, I've been waiting for these sketches. We got a meeting in an hour. Are you going to send those? And now I have to tell her the story of where she screwed up, right?
Yeah.
Now, do you think she's receptive to hearing that it's her fault? Oh, no, no, no. No, she was pissed. And in her mind, she couldn't go through the grief process quick enough to get to the where I was. I was way ahead of her on the story.
Yeah.
She's still lagging way behind, you know.
Right. You've already dealt
I've already dealt
everything.
With all this, yeah, all the emotion of like, I know you're going to be mad. I know that, but it is really your fault because like I can't, my fax machine can't reach into yours and extract the information. Like it really does have to come from you to me. So the sad thing on that one was, we did it everything late, but she was never happy. And it like, even when I did the sketches for the next week, it was kind of the treatment that you got, Lee, with your email. It was like one word answer kind of stuff. Like she was still mad at me for not somehow. Well, and that was one of the things she says, well, why didn't you call? And I'm like, I couldn't even remember what company you were with. Like, you know, I was so what I wanted to say, cause I was like 2 years or 3 years into doing it. What I wanted to say was, I was so happy that you called. That like, I didn't hear the first 10 sentences that you said. I just knew I was getting a job, you know?
Right.
So, why did you call? I don't remember what company you were with. Well, I said it. Okay, well.
God, it's so different now, yeah. Right? Even if somebody did call, there's still you know, you can look at and see who it was, what number it was, all that's, there's all that trail.
Right.
electronic trail. That stuff didn't exist back then.
So I guess the takeaway for artists today is always get the information before the fax comes in.
Don't rely on your fax machine.
It's an illustration relic story. We'll put it there. How about that?
Yeah.
A little aside to that, if you got anybody's in the process of buying or selling a house, that industry still uses fax.
What?
Why is that?
Yeah, there's still there's just a couple of industries that have like these dusty old fax machines. I mean, it's bizarre that somebody would send a fax.
I guess, you know,
but they still
exist. I guess at the end of the day, it might be faster than crafting a PDF, downloading a PDF.
Yeah.
Printing a PDF or whatever.
Just sending docs over really quickly.
Gosh. Just you have it printed out, it through, it comes.
The few times I've had to do it, it's like I'm trying to invent new technology or something. I'm trying to send something that exists on my screen and I'm trying to fax it. So I'm Googling free fax. I don't want to sign up for a fax service.
Right, because you only have to fax just one thing every 5 years.
Just one deal.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Man. Well, that's why Kinko's exists, because I got rid of my fax machine, but I remember having to use it a few times after that. So
I just can't believe it's still in use in any capacity.
Yeah. All right. Lee, you got another one?
I'll do one just kind of on the heels of what Will's saying there. So I've got a problem with remembering names. I'm just going to throw that out there first. My students are all shaking their head in agreement. Okay, so this story was right when I got out of school, and I'm still trying to figure things out. I got a job teaching a high school, late junior high, early high school class for kids on drawing comics and setting up comics. And I was super stoked to get it. That was my first real teaching job. And I may have even been still in school. And I was really happy about it. And I was nervous about being in front of the students and stuff, whatever. And I just had trouble remembering everybody's names. And so that's kind of setting up this story where a couple weeks into the term, I run into the lady who has hired me to teach this class. And it was kind of cool. Her daughter was actually in the class. And she asked me, I'll just throw out a branch. She's like, "How's Tracy doing?" And so her daughter was not the best student. Her daughter was not interested in the subject matter at all. And she's not doing the work. And so I was like going to kind of, because this woman like worked at an art school, and I was going to give her like just the straight deal that her daughter's not interested. Maybe another route would be good. Maybe some other extracurricular activities are better than art for this person. Her work's subpar. She's not interested in it, whatever. I just go into this whole thing, just trying to let this lady know that her daughter's not right for my class. And then she's like, and so I'm just describing all these attributes. And she's like, "Wait, are you talking about my daughter?" Because she wasn't even asking about her daughter.
Oh, no.
She was asking about another student in class.
Oh, no.
And then so I'm like, "Well,
No.
Yeah. It was so embarrassing. And this lady, I mean, she's my boss still for the next couple of weeks in the class, and I have to run it. There was just no way out of it. I just had to stand there for like 5 more minutes and talk the whole time, just thinking in my head, "I want to run right now and bury my head."
Oh my.
That is horrible. That's horrible. Oh man!
I could make that mistake because I'm not good with names either. Ugh.
I've learned my takeaway there is just don't assume anything. I try not to, especially if you're saying something negative. Just like be sure of what you're talking about and let somebody else invite. I don't try to. It's kind of like when I go to a party now, I've learned through these same kind of stories. Don't ask about people's relationships. Like you see two people together, don't say, "Oh, how long you been together?" Because that is, you just like, just shut up, basically. Right. I've learned to shut up.
Which you ask.
Just smile.
Don't ask kids. Don't ask kids things in school visits, like about their family. Because they'll tell you
things exactly.
Like, that you don't want to know that's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just don't, you got
to
be careful.
What's funny, I this has nothing to do with, I guess tangentially it's illustration. My wife volunteers at the kids' classes, so she gets to hear all kinds of stories about kids and their family life. But they're doing an assignment where you're supposed to draw. The kids were supposed to draw their a family member and put them in a different outfit. Or one of the things was, what does your family member sleep in? What's their pajamas look like? And this girl draws a bare naked like mom with all the anatomical details. And my wife's like, oh dear, I know way too much about your mother now. anyway, I have a story, another story. Okay. This is sort of cringy, I guess. I don't know. This is just, again, like inexperience. So this was early on in my illustration career. I lived in Connecticut, which was really close to New York City, where all the editors and the publishers live and everything. And you know, it's the center of the American publishing world, right? And so what was cool about that is I could go down for meetings and like have face-to-face meetings with my agent and with an editor and with an art director and things like that. And I just finished my first children's book, and it was done with kind of a big name author. And it was not kind of, he was a big name. He is a big name author. He's a Pulitzer Prize winner of all things. Anyways, the publisher was an imprint of a major publisher. And I for some reason, I can't remember exactly how this happened. I don't know if I requested this or my agent said, hey, they want to talk to you. I think it was me requesting it. Like, I want to talk to this editor. I want to have a lunch meeting with her. And so, I had this lunch meeting set up. This woman carved out, she's like, the imprint is named after her, right? She's a major like person in this publishing world. And I've got like a lunch meeting with her. And I didn't have anything to talk about. I didn't have anything to pitch. I didn't have like any ideas. I just, we went and we had lunch and we talked and chatted. And then afterwards, we went to her office and I showed her my sketchbook. And my sketchbook was full of things that weren't anything related to children's books. It was like an idea for a comic or like concept art or something like that. And the look on her face clearly was like, you're wasting my time. She's very polite, but she's just like,
oh, no.
Well, I don't really have anything for you, Jake. And I was like, I kind of got it by the end of it. Like, oh man, I am such an idiot. Like, this is such a squandered opportunity. And so I thanked her for her time and I said, you know, I'll let you know next time I'm in town or whatever, I'm down here. And she's like, yeah, okay. And we've never really talked since. So that was that.
Did that feeling kind of wash over you while you're in the meeting?
Yeah.
Like, did you know when you were sitting there, like,
this is going bad? Yeah, I realized it when, she's like, so what do you want to talk about today? I'm realizing now that I combined two of our meetings. So we had a lunch meeting, and that was to talk about the book deal that I had just done, or I was doing. And this was a follow-up after I'd finished that book. So this is a follow-up meeting in her office. So I put those two together. But I was, you know, she's like, so what do you want to do next? What kind of children's book do you want to do? What's your idea? And I was like, well, I love machines. I like cars.
Oh my God.
He's like, okay, well, show me what you got. So I opened my sketchbook and there's no cars in it. You know, there's nothing in it. And she's like, well, I could see, yeah, you like drawing.
You're an illustrator, you know, of some capacity.
And she pulls down, you know, she's very gracious. She pulls down a book that they're working on that had lots of vehicles. She's like, you know, something like this. Like, yeah. Yeah. I would like to draw that. That would be fun. it was really ridiculous.
But so, that's how you learn, right? I mean, like, you wouldn't do that again. And
no,
so, you know, there's no
book. If I had a meeting today, I would just be so prepared and on it. And like, here's how we're going to have an awesome time working together. And here's my big idea. But yeah, squandered.
Yeah. You know what I was going to say? The stories like that are, you know, they're cringeworthy when you're there, especially if you know that it's happening while you're in the meeting. But then it's weird because like even like 10 years later, I can think of a moment like that and I get almost the same level of embarrassment that I had back then. Like it's just such a, you can bring back fresh wound very quickly.
Yeah.
And it's weird. It's only those kind of stories, like other things that were painful in your past, like fights you got into. I don't have any response when I think about those things other than like, oh yeah, that happened and that was bad. But these kind of ones, it feels like I'm doing it like right now. As I tell you the story, I get the same feeling.
Oh, I had this with the other night, my kids, I have two kids in high school. That's weird enough. And can't believe I'm that old. And we're sitting on the bed talking about their day at high school, and something they said made me think of like a series of all of these things that I did in high school that were just me being dumb and inconsiderate and not thinking of like other people's feelings and thoughts. Like not me not being like aggressive or trying to be a bully or anything like that, but just me not thinking, making other people's lives kind of miserable. And I just zoned out. And I wasn't speaking. And they're like, Dad, you know, what's wrong? I was like, oh my gosh, I just realized what a horrible person I was in high school. Like, now that I look at it from an adult's perspective and a parent and how I wouldn't want anybody doing that to my kids, I'm just like, I am the worst. And I want to track these people down and just say, I love you. I think you're awesome. I think you're amazing. I'm not a jerk.
Oh my gosh.
I have one little anecdote.
Okay.
And then I want to hear one from Lee. I want you to tell your story about when you rode your bike.
Okay. Okay.
All right, will you tell that one?
Sure.
All right. Let me tell this one's really quick.
That one's not too bad in you know the context of some of these
just,
other ones. It's
I
not
just
bad,
picture but... it because it's funny. No, my you sparked my idea, Jake, with your when you zoned out. Mm-hmm. I zoned out one time with an art director, and we were just chatting on the phone. And I have ADD. I mean, like I really would have been one of those kids that was medicated today. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like back then, I escaped that, I guess. But I mean, my parents even had me tested. It's a whole other story, but well,
that's because you probably had 2 hours of recess back then. Sure, my kids don't have recess these days.
I was the daydream king. Lame. I've zoned out like 10 times during this podcast.
Yeah. What are we talking about?
So I'm on the phone with an art director and I'm zoning, right? Uh-huh. And she's talking about the workbook. Now, do you remember the workbook and showcase those big, huge,
yeah, the advertising.
Yeah. So, if you don't know what they are, they're like a telephone book, like a huge telephone book for illustrators. We don't have any more because the internet kind of wiped them out.
Except it was printed on nice paper.
And because it was printed on nice paper, each one weighed like 50 pounds. I mean, like they were huge books. And so anyway, so the art director, we're talking about like, I would always ask where they found my work. And she started going off and she was talking about this, that, and the other. And then she comes back to the workbook and she's like, yeah, but you know, those books are so unwieldy. And then she pauses for me to say something, you know, but I was zoning and I go, yeah, they're really heavy too. And then my mind backed up and it was like, wait a minute, what did she just say? Oh, crap. She said unwieldy. So now she's pausing, right? She's like, because she doesn't know if I'm joking or not, right? And then she figures out that, nope, I'm just an idiot.
You're just...
So then the conversation was like, okay, well, okay, goodbye. I guess, okay, well, that's enough. And goodbye. So bad. Anyway.
And they're unheavy, too. Or they're but you're, too.
When you were zoning with your kids, it made me think of that one. So, Lee, we got to hear the bike story.
All right. Not that great of a story, I think, but definitely funny. So I taught at the Art Institute of Portland for a long time, and I loved riding my bike to school. And I would ride to school, ride home from school, and I really loved that. And didn't need to use the car. Well, I lived typically about 5 miles away, but we moved out to the country, and so we were gone from 5 miles away to about 27 miles.
That's huge.
But I still wanted to ride my bike. which was stupid. And so first day of spring, I mean, it's rainy in Portland. So I've been driving. I'm like, I'm going to ride. I'm finally going to ride. And so, so I get all geared up and, you know, I've got enough time and everything's good. I'm like, I'm going to ride to school today. It's going to be awesome.
Now you're not the business guy, right? You're not like, you're not dressed like the business guy riding a bike.
No. I'm in like Lance Armstrong wannabe, you know, like fully like in the gear. Yeah. And so, so I'm all ready and I'm zoom. And we lived in a place called Corbett, which is in the Columbia River Gorge, very mountainous kind of area. And so it's just beautiful. I'm riding. It's gorgeous, you know, and I make it about, I'd say 6 or 7 miles, probably not too far, but enough to be, you know, I'm now sweating and into it, into the ride. And I realized that I don't have anything. I didn't bring anything. I didn't bring my clothes. I didn't bring my teaching stuff. I just like got on my bike and like, I'm going on a ride. And so then I'm like, oh, I got to go back, of course, because I can't go like that. So I turn around and now I got these hills to climb to get back to my house. And I'm pedaling and climbing. So I get back to my house and I'm like, this is where the dumb decision was made. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to like double time it. I'll put a little pep in my step. I'm still going to ride to school.
Gee whiz.
You know, now I'd already done 14 miles of mountain riding. And so I load up my clothes and my school stuff and I get on the bike. And so I'm like 20 minutes into the ride and I'm checking the time and it's like getting close to class time. And so I was like, oh my God. So I picked up my pace a little bit and like, you know, another 10 or 15 minutes go by. And I'm like, oh my, I'm barely making progress here. I still got 27 miles to cover and the clock is ticking. All of a sudden I'm like now standing up at a full sprint and I have to do that for like 15 miles. And so I've never ridden that fast in my life. And I'm still a little bit late, but I did actually make it close to the beginning of class, but I ran to my office. I mean, I didn't even go to the bathroom to change. I just changed in my office. Luckily nobody came in. I mean, there's like 8 of us in the office and I changed. And I don't know if you guys get this too when you exercise, but a lot of times I'm not actually that sweaty.
You
when
off I'm gas exercising. Afterwards.
It's kind of when you stop. And so I walk up to the classroom and my face is white. I mean, my heart was probably beating 200 beats a minute or something. I don't know what the normal amount is, but it was quadruple whatever it normally is. And I get there and all of a sudden I just start pouring sweat and my face is white as a ghost and I can't remember what I mean. I just walk in like as fast as I can to the room, like barge through the door. Everybody's sitting down looking at me and I'm just sweating and white and I don't even know what to say. It was one of the most embarrassing teacher moments. So I just had to like fess up and just tell everybody kind of this whole story because so it would make sense and I don't look like a crazy person.
It was the first day of class too or... Oh, so they had never met you before or anything.
Oh, that makes it better.
Oh, no. Sorry. No. This was not the first day. We'd probably gone through like two or three, because it was a spring term.
Right.
Because it had been raining.
You should have corrected us on that. It would be better if we all thought it was
no,
the first
that would have been terrible.
I'm your teacher. I'm a major creepo. I sweat all the time.
Here I am.
I have a glandular problem.
Why didn't you just cancel class that day?
There's so many better ways to handle it. I had a car.
Yeah,
when I drove back to my house, I could have drove. But no, I wanted to ride that day. It was so many bad decisions. But, you know, I mean, it's going to happen. I will tell you, just because it sparked it, a memory of when I was in Art Center, a first day of school story that was a disaster. These two guys team taught a class on creature design. And one of the guys was just amazing. I knew his work, but I didn't know the other guy. So I get to class and it's only one teacher there. And it turns out that was the teacher who's really, really good. The other guy was missing for some reason. And that teacher wasn't expecting that his partner to be gone.
Right.
And this guy was if there's a quintessential kind of artist guy, he was the guy who's really talented, but cannot speak at all. I mean, he's petrified. I mean, like a statue up there. And the other guy apparently is the social teacher guy who does the interaction. And this guy just shows you technique. Yeah, exactly. So this guy now has 4 hours to fill in front of an audience and he hasn't done any prep. The other guy's the teacher speaker guy. And so he sat there and it was brutal. I mean, it was like 4 hours of just him not knowing what to do, but still trying to keep our attention. I mean, I've never felt so embarrassed for somebody because you get to see how awkward it was. Like, couldn't speak or anything.
You know what? We'll do this another day. You just go home.
Yeah, I would have canceled that one. I would have totally, if I was him, I would have bailed. But he tried to get through it. But
wow. All right. Well, guys, I want you to work on getting more cringeworthy stories so that we can do this again in the future. And I'll have fresh stuff to tell.
I'll have it in there. You know, this would actually be a good topic to put on our forum and see what other people's stories are.
It really would. Yeah.
Well,
because it's fun
we'll
to hear.
We'll make a forum post when this episode airs, and we could get some other people's cringy stories. That'd be good. Well, should we wrap it up?
Let's wrap.
Let's wrap
All right,
up.
Everybody, thank you for joining us. This is 3-Point Perspective. It's made possible by svslearn.com, where becoming a great illustrator starts. And your hosts have been Will Terry. You can find him at willterry.com. His Instagram account is willterryart, and do a search for his name on YouTube. You won't be disappointed when you see all the YouTube content he is up there. We also have Lee White. leewhiteillustration.com is his address, his web address, and also follow him at Instagram. It's at Lee White Illo. And lastly, I'm Jake Parker. My website's mrjakeparker.com. I'm at Jake Parker on Instagram. And when I have time, I do post a YouTube video from time to time on my YouTube channel. So do a search on there. If you like this episode, please share it around. Subscribe to it on iTunes if you haven't subscribed already. And once you're there, we would love it if you left a review. We want to hear what you think about the podcast, and we want others to know what you think about the podcast as well. And like we said, if you're wanting to join in on this particular discussion, go to the forums on svslearn.com, and we've posted an episode thread for this particular episode. So chime in over there and let us know your thoughts. All right, thanks everybody, and see you next time. All right. We did it.
All right.
All right. Another one in the can. That was pretty fun.
Don't hit stop.
I guess let's stop.
Stop it.
Pop.